Good morning. Good to see you. That looks amazing, didn't it? Do you know all the work that goes into all these different events that are going on over this time of year? Just really appreciate every single person's support and how everyone carries different roles. It's wonderful to see over both our locations. Let's just pray. God, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you that you are God. Lord, we put you in your rightful place right now, Lord. Just take these simple words, God. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. Amen. Amen. Do you know what's always encouraging is when something's been on your heart and then you hear it mentioned and sang about in the service. So everything that Natalie's opened up with today, the songs that we've been singing in worship, all continue that real heart of faith of what we're going to be looking at this morning. So that's always good, isn't it? Always good. So we're going to carry on looking at journey of faith, what it means to be on a journey of faith. We've had this whole year, haven't we, of celebrating our 100 years of still burning bright. We've heard different testimonies. We've celebrated different events and just being able to come together. But the very heart and passion is also for the future, isn't it? We honour the past, but we want to see what God has yet still to do in us as a church, but that also means in us as individuals. And so our journeys of faith, we know they don't just go in a nice linear straight line. They tend to be a lot more organic than that. We don't just go up that lovely path of faith where we just keep growing in maturity. It tends to be more like the roller coaster or the river or different things that can be a lot more winding as we go and journey through life. That's what makes it such a wonderful adventure. Such a wonderful adventure of life. So we're going to actually be following different journeys of faith. But as we just stop and we think, you know, we've celebrated as well that 100 years of being part of AOG GB, which is a Pentecostal denomination, Assemblies of God. You know, one of the first churches to become affiliated with that. And what it means to be Pentecostal is literally just that we firmly believe that the book of Acts and everything that we saw, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is still alive today with us, that God is present, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit now. With us now. God has not left us. When Jesus left and rose again, he did not say, "You're on your own now, kid." He basically said, "You will never be by yourself because I am sending you the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter." And in that, it says in Acts 1 that he will be with us. He will give us that power to be witnesses. It says in the Bible that that's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. For us, that's things that we do locally in our community. All these different events. Why we do Christmas dinner on Jesus. Why we do the markets. Why we do all these other things that are going on. It's all about serving our local communities. Then when we hear about things in Europe, missionally, we've heard about Romania and the things of how we're seeing that partnership developed. Last week, Becky Murray, she was brilliant, wasn't she? Absolutely incredible. And how we see that partnership with Kenya and with One by One develop. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Our homes, Bolton, the UK, Europe, to the ends of the earth. Same God, same challenge, the same call that is upon each one of us. So how do we keep this journey of faith where we keep that very central, everything we have spoken about, the authority that God has placed upon us with his Holy Spirit walking with us and in us, before us, behind us? How do we continue this journey of faith when it's like this? When it wobbles, when it meanders, when sometimes it's a roaring waterfall, when sometimes it's just a little trickle in a little brook somewhere, and sometimes it's been a drought and you're like, where is the river at all? You get me? Yeah. Life's interesting, isn't it? And I love the fact that God's promise isn't that we'll not have trouble. His promise is that you'll have trouble in this world, but I have overcome the world. So how incredible this God that we serve, that sometimes we just have to remind ourselves who it is that we are serving. As I was praying and reading about this, I couldn't help but just keep getting drawn back to Revelation. In Revelation 12, it says, "Now have come the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them and us before our day, before our God, day and night, he has been hurled down. Our accuser has been hurled down. And they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." This incredible God that reminds us of our salvation, of the power that God brings, of the kingdom of God, of the authority through his Messiah, through Jesus. And yet, how does it say that accuser, all the things that go on to make us feel rubbish, that we aren't good enough, that we've messed up? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? You know, you get so many things, don't you, that just think, what is the point of faith? What is the point of it? Because when our meandering rivers are getting that little bit dry, all God says is remember that they have triumphed by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing to do with you. It's what Jesus has done. But then our part comes in by the word of their testimony, reminding each other of the goodness of the journey, of the goodness of God, of when those waterfalls have been torrential, when we see the white water rapids, when we also enjoy the quietness of the streams or the lakes and the different seasons of life that God takes us through. But it is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's not just about us being silent in the midst of it. It's about us stirring and fanning into flame that gift of faith again. That when we are feeling that little bit, where's the river even gone? That we stand together and we look to God and we say, but actually, it's by the blood of the Lamb. So the pressure isn't on us. But by sharing the word of our testimony, it brings incredible strength of faith because it inspires and it spurs each other on to see the incredible goodness of God. So I'm just going to be looking at the story of Sarah. So we look at this whole beautiful story of this incredible woman in the Old Testament. And I'd encourage you to just read her story if you get chance or make time this week. It's Genesis 11 right through to Genesis 23. I'd love to read the whole thing for you this morning. But time, I think you'd be grumbling a bit if we're taking too long. So have that time to just stop and to read these chapters and to just look at Sarah's journey of faith. And we're just going to be looking a little bit through that. But as we're talking about her, I want us to just really think about these three points that we're going to look at for her and address that, how you look at it yourself. How do you view your own destiny and identity? How do you view yourself? what do we do? And Natalie already challenged us on this. When there's a delay in what we are expecting God to do, a delay in our prayers, a delay when God said, no, stay in that, or we're in a point of suffering. How do we deal with that? And also the fact that his covenant deed is unchanging. I want us to remind ourselves of that this morning. So as we look at Sarah, we meet her in Genesis 11 as Sarai. And her very name and the way that she is introduced, it literally says this. So Sarai, who was Abraham's wife, Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. So we see from this very first point of meeting Sarai, her identity is always already linked with how others see her, how she feels that she's failed, how something that has been a desire of her heart has not been fulfilled. The very first point that we are introduced to Sarai is about all wrapped up with her childlessness. She was not able. She was not able. Church, there are so many things that you will come up in life where you think, I am not able. I am not able. There are promises over our lives, and yet we keep reverting back to this point, I am not able. Do you know, particularly for any of us that have worked with people through fertility issues, we know the pain and how incredibly all-consuming that can be. But in this season particularly, that was a woman's worth. There was nothing else. Her whole purpose in life was to give her husband a son and heir. Not even that about the daughters, sorry ladies, but that's not too big a deal. It's got to be a son. It has to be an heir. So everything about her identity is that as a wife, she should be providing for her husband, this son and heir. So this promise that is over, and when it's very hard, we can read quite flippantly over that. But actually, this was everything that this woman was consumed with, because that was her very purpose. As a woman in that time, there wasn't a lot of other things to do. There wasn't the power. There wasn't anything that was able to be separate. This was her purpose, and she wasn't able. We see the pain of it when 1 Samuel, it talks about Hannah, who was also just in deep anguish. It talks about this deep anguish. In Sarai's case, it was because she was unable to conceive. But every single one of us in this room will have something that has caused us a deep anguish, something that we were not able to do, not able to stop, not able to fix. There is some things that we just feel not able. But everything about this story is that God is able. Everything about the Bible stories, the characters, the whole Christology throughout the Bible is that it is our God who is able. When we talk about the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, it's not because our blood could save ourselves. It is the blood of the Lamb, because he is able. He is the one who is able. And often we just get so wrapped up in, we forget our identity that it is in God. We forget that our destiny that he has called us to, because we are so focused on what we are not able to do. What feels maybe shameful, what feels that we are lacking, what feels that we have let people down with. But God says differently. He says this, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Do you know, there's a lovely singer-songwriter that I listen to a lot, Lauren Daigle. In fact, our lovely Mary, we used to always say to each other, go and listen to You Say by Lauren Daigle, because it reminds you again through worship, that thing of you say. And it reminds you of the promises. There's another one of hers that I love called Look Up, Child. And in here, sometimes when I was praying over us all this morning, there is such a tendency that the heaviness and the weight of things, we can just be so obsessed with looking down at the things that we are not able, the things that has just caused us some suffering, some anguish, deep anguish. And God's call to you today is look up, child. Look up. Remember who you are. Remember the identity of what God has called you to do, your destiny that is in front of you. Not just the past, which we honour, but also the past that makes us who we are. And yet God sees all that and looks into the brokenness and says, you are my beloved. What an incredible God we serve. So when we are doubting our destiny, when we are doubting our identity, look up, child. Do you know, there is a very specific word for some people that may be in here or maybe watching online, that there is something that breaks in worship. You know, I've just talked about a couple of songs that I found very powerful. And I believe that we have people in here that know there is a call of God upon them to write worship songs, to write Christian songs that will lift and will break chains. And that you don't believe that that call is right because you don't feel worthy of it. But God says, listen again. Get yourself into the, whether it's a production studio, whether it's the quietness of your room, whether it's getting together with other musicians and singers, because there is going to be a sound coming from this house that I absolutely believe is going to bring a new day of seeing chains broken, because worshipful hearts have stepped out and shared the babies of their most vulnerable thoughts as they share forward songs and worship and heartfelt lyrics that have been written in the quietness, in the suffering, in the times that they have been with God. In fact, let's just pray for that. God, we just pray for our worship team. God, we pray for our incredibly gifted musicians and singers. God, we pray that, Lord, the heart of worship will come so strongly through their experiences, through their love of you, that, God, that there will be a real cry coming out of this house where chains are broken through worship. God, I thank you for our incredible worship team, for all that have come through this place over the years. God, wherever they are, God, stir afresh the gift that is upon them to bring life, to help us look up and remember whose child we are. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And have Helena pray with you. Have our worship team get around you. Have times when you can really invest on working in this creativity and letting that space really erupt. So what do we do when there's been a delay? And maybe that's something that's been spoken over you as a worship person, that you felt there's been a delay and you've missed it. Can I just say, delay is not denial. will follow Sarai's story of this fact that they had these incredible words spoken over them for her and Abraham. It said, I will make you into great nations. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. 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 Why do we think that's always for somebody else? No, the call of God that is upon your life, wherever you are in your world, in your workplace, in your homes, in your schools, in your colleges, where you are, people will be blessed through you. So what happens here is Sarai is battling with this feeling of inadequacy, this feeling of not being able. And she has, fortunately, she has a wonderful husband called Abraham who will stand with her and always protect her and look after her and be the most wonderful voice of reason in her life. Oh, does he? Do you know, sometimes the people that should be our protectors, the ones that stand for us, the ones that should be looking after us, they let us down. And Abraham, as this incredible patriarch, hero of faith, we read about him so much through the Bible, this hero of faith who has multitudes and nations all coming from his generational line. And yet this was where his faith was up to. So they had to flee from where they were because of a famine. And this is where Abraham said, as they arrived in Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know you are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. And then they'll kill me, but they'll let you live. Say you are my sister. Then I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. So that's what happened. They came to Egypt. The Pharaoh did take Sarai to be with him. And he treated Abraham well for her sake, and Abraham acquired wealth, required sheep, cattle, donkeys, servants, camels. All this because he let his wife get taken by another man. Doesn't sound like a hero of faith to me. It doesn't sound like a husband that you would want. It doesn't sound like someone who would be your protector. Church, God knows that the people that can be incredibly special, whether it's our husband and wives, whether it's our parents, even our children, people that should be around us, our nearest and dearest, can let us down, and sometimes they can let us down very harshly. And God knows and he sees. And no, it's not right, but it also does not become your identity. It does not become the thing that has a shadow over you all your life, because there is transformation and there is healing. Some of it may be that you need further counselling, bridge counselling. We have an amazing service here that can really help unwrap and pick some of these difficult things. Sometimes things just don't get healed in an instant. But God takes us on a journey of faith to understand that our destiny and identity have not been lost. When there is a delay or things that have come about, it is not a denial. It is not to take us off to one place where you just say, this is where we are going. God has different plans. She thought she'd missed it. So what happened is, even though they had promises and promises of all that was coming in the future, and yet here it was where Abraham was still saying, but I'm still childless. And yet there was that promise. Look at the stars that Nathalie started off with. See how numerous they are. Look at the dust. Can you even count the grains, the promises, the promises? So shall your offspring be. So Sarah was so worried that she'd missed this, that she then went down her own path. And as we see that story of Hagar in Genesis 16, where she took her Egyptian slave, this woman who was powerless, and said to her husband, take Hagar, have a child with her, then maybe you could have a family through her. And again, Abraham didn't go, no, we have got a promise of God over our lives. He just went, yeah, okay then. And very often we look at Genesis 16 through Hagar's eyes, that injustice, that way of not being seen, that powerlessness in our situation. And yet there's also, looking at it through Sarai's eyes, that desperation to see that promise fulfilled, thinking she'd missed it and deciding to make it another way. Let's find an alternative path. Or Abraham thinking, I'm just going along with this because maybe there's other ways. But we've heard wonderful sermons on Hagar that I encourage you to go and listen to. But here is this beautiful part where we see a not very nice Sarai, who it says mistreated her, abused Hagar. This was not her finest hour. But Hagar had this incredible encounter with God where she says, you are the God who sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me. Elroy. My God, God who sees you. Job, as he went through all his suffering and his trials, he had that same encounter. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. See, it doesn't make sense, does it? That our destiny and identity, that we should be treated like kings and queens, and each one in a non-broken world, then that would happen. But unfortunately, in a broken world, we get hurt, and there are things that are not right that happen in our lives. And yet, there becomes that encounter with God when you realise, Elroy, God sees me. He sees the injustice. He sees all that has gone before. He sees the pain and he sees the suffering. And in that, he reaches in and takes out an incredible, beautiful situation where there is promises of all that is yet to come. So after this, even after this, we see Sarai and Abraham again, not at their best, but we see that God then says, I will make a covenant deed between you and me. Church, sometimes these stories, Bible stories, there are some really difficult Bible stories that I do not understand. And you see the ugliness and the depths of depravity of what humanity can do. There are many different chapters in here where I just go, they're hard to read. But there is also the reality that they are there because there is nothing new and there are no surprises. So things that you can feel are shameful or secret or hidden or things that maybe there is only you have been through, I can tell you now that is not true. That actually, when God reaches in and you have that incredible Elroy moment where God sees you and you can meet that God who sees you, that there is something about that Holy Spirit power that comes again to realize that actually you are powerful and you have the authority of God upon your life, that the word of your testimony because of the blood of the Lamb is what will change lives for others to come. So when Sarai was worried because she thought she'd missed it, be reassured you haven't missed it. The delay is not about you missing whatever you feel you should have done in the past or you feel has been taken from you. There's that beautiful verse where it says that God will restore the years the locusts have eaten. And maybe you need to hold on to that today to know that you are being restored and will continue to be restored for all that God has in front of you. And so in Genesis 17, we see this covenant made where names are changed. Sarai becomes Sarah. Abram becomes Abraham. And the difference sounds subtle, but when you think about the difference behind the name, Sarai meant my princess. It was quite a possessive way of describing it. It was limited authority. It's like saying, oh, you're my princess. Whereas Sarah is princess. Not just my princess, not just a nice name affirming over here. Princess is the royalty with a position of authority. And all that that royal priesthood changes to. When there is that covenant, there is a change. Abraham was an exalted father, but Abraham then became father of many nations, or father of multitude. There is that difference from being here to being here. You know that difference in change in heart and attitude when you know that maybe your name, it's not that, maybe not that different, but there is a massive difference. Look up, child. Look up, child. Don't be looking down. Don't be looking at what you are not able to do. Don't look about the things that you think you've missed, because actually, as you look up and you invest again into realizing that your identity and your destiny is in God's hands, a delay is not a denial. And then we go on to see that his covenant deed that is made, he says, between you and me, it is eternal and forever, and it does not change. It is not about whether we have messed up or not. His covenant deed over each one of us is unchanging. I'm going to ask the band just to come and stand with me as we go into a song of worship. After we feel that we don't have anything to give, we feel that we've messed up too many times, we feel that we're too damaged by things that have gone on. And I just really want to encourage you that even Abraham and Sarah, even after they had this covenant promise over their lives, there is yet another story where Abraham again said to the king Abimelech, she's my sister. She's my sister. A second time. And this was after the covenant deed. Read through this stories and see the chronological order of it. And as I was reading that, I just really felt sometimes it's easier to forgive ourselves for the things that happened before we were a Christian, because we were different then. And we feel that way of the shame or the lack of forgiveness because as Christians we should know better. But if there's anything we can learn from the stories of Sarai to Sarah, Abraham to Abraham, they messed up before their covenant deed was in place and they had the promises of God. They had a significant change where their names were changed and they had that covenant made with God between you and me. And then they still messed up after. Church, it's about the blood of the Lamb. It's not about how good a Christian you are. It's not about the fact that you've got it made, or now that you're on this journey of faith, that you're just becoming more and more mature in your Christianity. it's about embracing the fact that even in those meandering points, whether it's the waterfall or whether it's the little trickle of water or whether it's a drought and it feels completely dry in your faith journey, it's actually not about you. It's about God's promise and covenant over you. It's about the fact that he sees you. Church, will you stand with me and let me pray over you? As we think about our destiny and our identity, God, I thank you that that is shaped by divine blessings, not by our past failures, not by the opinions of others, not by suffering we may have gone through, sometimes out of our own choices. But God, I thank you that our destiny, our identity, are promised because of who you are and by the blood of the Lamb, that there is freedom that comes and chains that are broken, where you literally take us from broken to beloved, from being forgotten to being favored. God, we thank you that it is your grace that calls us. It's about who we are also becoming, not just where we have been. God, I thank you that we don't let a delay define us. I thank you that we have not missed our purpose. I thank you, God, that we have not tripped up and thought that's it, that's gone forever. That, God, your promise is over us always. Your covenant deed over us is not dependent on our performance, of whether we get it right this day, of whether we've messed up, of whether the words that have come out of our mouths or the actions that we have spoken or the choices we have made. God, we know we want to do better, but God, I thank you that that is not about us earning our way. God, I thank you, Lord, that you do change our names. And church, your name has been changed. When you have come into that relationship with Christ and you have seen him, El Roy, who sees you, and you have heard him, but now your eyes have seen him, your name is now changed to Christian. Christian, you are a follower of Christ. You have a new identity upon you. Christian, you are a follower of Christ. I thank God that we do not deserve it, but I thank God it is not performance related about how good we are or how we get it right or how hard we can work. I thank God it is the blood of the Lamb. And that by the word of our testimony, we can literally shine that light of Jesus in our words around us. So God, we thank you that you are El Roy, the God who sees us. We thank you, God, that it's not just as we are, but you see us as we are becoming as well. God, we thank you that your covenant with us gives us a purpose that is beyond our imagination. And God, I thank you, Father, that you take us in all that we are not able, all the mistakes that we make, all the delays and the denials and the things that we have missed. And God, I thank you that as you walk with us, God, may our identity be so evident to all, even when we don't feel it, that there is a calling over you. You have been called by name and you are his. Christian, you are a follower of Christ. Look up, child. Look up and see the God who sees you. In Jesus' name, amen.